Welcome to the Christian Gospel Center. We believe you are about to be impacted by this message of faith and hope. If there is anything that we can do to help you get connected into the church, or if you'd like more information about who we are, please head to thegospelcenter.com.
We've been talking over the last few weeks, except for last week, of course. First Peter chapter 2. About God the Builder. God the Builder, and you know, as we entered into this series, God started to build something. God started to say, you want to talk about me? Let me show you. What good is a builder if he puts everything down on paper and never lays the foundation? What good is the builder if he delivers all the timber and all the bricks and all the stuff that's needed to build and it just sits there and sits there and sits there? In 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. Come to him, to that living stone, which men pried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come to him, the master builder, the cornerstone, the author and the perfecter of your faith. Come to him. Don't come to church. Don't come to religion. Don't come to some false god. Don't try and make God something he's not. But come to him, it says. Come, verse 5, and like living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood to offer up those spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable and pleasing to God through Christ Jesus. God the builder, God the creator of everything, says to his children, says to the sons and daughters, I need you. I need you as living stones. I need to build within you so you can help build others. I must thank Trudy and Lisa for leaving me here abandoned on Tuesday night after bakery run with a good friend of ours who lives on the street and doesn't believe in Jesus. And for an hour and a half after you left, he preached scientific theory to me to try and sway me from my belief in the Word of God and God himself. I couldn't get a breath in. I couldn't get a word in. But he came up with all these theories. Scientists have this theory. Scientists have this idea. And every time I countered it with the Word of God, he got louder and faster. And he just couldn't stop himself. Here we are at the church door. I'm trying to get my car loaded, my trailer hitched up, so I can get home. Time's a ticking. My wife's emergency phone call that she gives me just at a timely time did not come through. I started my car. I put on my headlights. I put on my seatbelt. And he's still at me like this. But seed was sown. But I'm a living stone. I'm part of that house that God wants to build here on the south coast of South Australia. I'm part, you're part of these living stones that's talked about here in the book of Peter. Now I want you to come back to Nehemiah with me. Nehemiah has been my study book for the month of June. Personally, I've got so much out of it, but for the house this morning, I've got so much more. The book of Nehemiah, a great story about the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem. I could study it chapter by chapter as I have in the past, but I just want to bring some thoughts to you this morning about this thing that God works not only foundationally, but point two in our series, that God builds relationally. He loves to relate and he loves to include his children in what he's building. Amen? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God wants to use you as a simple earthen vessel, what the world would call ordinary, what the world would be calling you as an infidel or uneducated, brainwashed Christian? That's what they call us. All sorts of names, all sorts of labels, all sorts of titles that not only dishonor us, but dishonor God. But friends, I'm more than convinced that in these last days there'll be a remnant. There'll be a people just like us that are prepared to stand unswervingly on the Word of God, and we're going to say, we will not be moved. You may not like us. You may have to tolerate us, but we're not going to shift from what we believe. Amen? I said to this guy the other night, one day, you and I are going to know who's right. And I hope for your sake, I won't say his name, that you're standing alongside of me because you've seen the error of theories and now you've come to the truth. I said, I hope one day that God visits you and touches you and transforms you. These are the words I got in as I'm starting to ease out of the driveway amongst his, because God wants to save souls. God wants to use people like you and I. God wants that same building spirit that he put in, not just into Nehemiah, but even to the king, even to the people he sent along with Nehemiah, into the people of Jerusalem. There's that building spirit that we will not be shaken. We will not be moved. Amen? So here in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and they said to me, the remnant there in the province who escaped exile are in great trouble and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its fortified gates are destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and wept and mourned, the Bible says, for days, and fasted and prayed constantly before the God of heaven. Scriptures like this have been resounding in my spirit over the last few weeks. That you and I are called out people. We're called out of a hurting, hopeless world into a kingdom. Out of a world into a kingdom that knows no defeat, that knows no surrender, that knows no giving up. We're called like Nehemiah to make a decision. Are we going to be builders or are we going to be followers of the rest of the Christian world? There's churches right around us that are preaching lovely little messages but are not seeing the power of God operating. This will not be one of those houses. I will not preach out of a Reader's Digest or a Time magazine. I will preach the Word of God unashamedly from the Word of God. And I love the heart of Nehemiah. He hears the words that are working not just against the city, but working against the people of God's holy city. That the things in the natural have been pulled down, but things of the heart have been destroyed and burned just as powerfully as it was done in the natural. And his response, as I brought to the church here a couple of weeks ago, was that he wept. He wept over the state of what was going on in Jerusalem. He wasn't even there. He was many miles away. His response was not just tearfully, not just mournfully. But it says, for days he fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. What does he do? Come with me to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17. There's something in the heart of Nehemiah that says, I'm not going to sit still and let God's kingdom be mocked, to be ridiculed, to be made fun of. I want to be a builder. We got any builders in the house this morning? Three of us? Amen. In verse 17, Nehemiah, shortened version of what happens. I said to them, you see the bad situation we're in. How about an understatement of the year? You see the bad situation we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may longer be a disgrace. Feel disgraced? I certainly don't. But we have a nice building. It doesn't lie in disrepair. It needs a bit of repair, but it doesn't lie in disrepair. But as a child of God, as a son or a daughter, are you damaged? Are you ruined? Do you stand before man and glorify him by just what they see and they hear? It's a good question we need to ask ourselves. Am I reflecting the glory of God? Am I the son and the daughter of a king? Or do I lie in ruins? My circle within our community is wide and it's vast, and I see and hear a lot of things. I like to sit down and watch people and listen to people while I'm doing business with them. I like to see what's going on behind the scenes a bit. But when you know whose you are in Christ, it's almost like you're standing way outside and looking into this void where there's no sense and no presence of God at all. And sometimes, friends, I'll be honest, I feel that when I go to other churches and meet other church leaders and other pastors and ministers as well. Why is that? We proclaim Jesus as Lord, but is he Lord over all? We proclaim it here as a church. Jesus maybe is Lord. Jesus can be Lord. Now, we make this bold statement as a church that Jesus, Yeshua, is Lord. But I really believe with all my heart that God is bringing us as a church to this place where he's more than Lord with our words. From the very core of our being, Jesus is Lord. In every area of our lives, in everything we do, everything we say, every place we meet. We don't even have to open our mouths that people will know, wow, they're different. Perhaps don't understand, but almost too fearful to cross that boundary and bring reproach like's happened here in Nehemiah. Verse 18. The response to Nehemiah's invitation. He didn't say to them, look, you rabble, get your act together. He didn't say, come on, you lazy bones, I'm not going to do it all. He uses this terminology, let us build up the wall. Verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was upon me for good, and also the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands with a good word. They strengthened their hands for the good word. Now you can take that in the natural if you like, But I'm speaking out of the supernatural this morning. When we strengthen our hands, what does that mean to you? To me, that means in a place. Whether it be in a community like this, or whether it be in the privacy of my own prayer time and worship time, I strengthen my hands by opening up myself for God to minister to me. How can I lay hands on the sick and expect them to recover if I'm weak inside? How can I declare demons to flee if my hands haven't come in that place of surrender and worship before the only one true living God? See, long before they picked up their first tool, long before they moved the first piece of stone, long before they got the timbers in place, something had to shift on the inside. They had to see a completed wall. They had to see their neighbours working alongside them. They had to see the wall start to take shape again. And for us as a church, we can dwell on what has happened. We can dwell on the sad state in the natural that things may look. We may dwell on the fact that there is no growth, there is no future. Why are we wasting our time? Why are we giving our money? All those sort of things. Or we can stand like Nehemiah says. I mourned, I prayed, I fasted for God, the God of heaven. He just doesn't sit there. He goes and shares and casts vision with others. I'm sure there would have been some going, oh, here we go again. It's going to cost us our time. He's come from out of town. The out of town has got all the good ideas. You know, righty, righty, right. But there's something about the spirit of Nehemiah that says, we can do this. Their mindset must have been going, how is a small bunch of exiled Jews going to build a wall and rebuild gates that have been ruined by an army, by a force, by soldiers stronger than us? Have you been there? You'll never get better. You'll never make anything of your life. You haven't got the strength. You haven't got the fortitude. You haven't got the finances. You haven't got the backing. You're just a dreamer. I love the hard attitude of this small group of people in the ruined city of Jerusalem. They began to strengthen their hands for good work. Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 2. Verse 1 introduces it. It says, when Sanballat heard that they were building the wall. When he heard that they were what? They were actually building. The progress has started. The foundations were set. The people were standing shoulder to shoulder doing the labor to see what needed to be built up. So too in the spirit realm, shoulder to shoulder, in agreement. Building up the house of God, building upon his word, building upon his promises, taking hold of revelation based on the foundation. What does it say? What does it say? It says he was angry. The Bible says, and he was in a great rage. And he ridiculed the Jews. Still being ridiculed. Verse 2, and he said before his brethren and the army of Samaria, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they restore things at will and by themselves? Will they try to bribe their God with sacrifices? Will they finish up in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubble, seeing they are burned? How's it going to happen? How's a feeble lot of 40, 45 people going to make a change in the community? How are we going to speak to mountains and see them cast into the sea? Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So Nehemiah gets these people together and he says, we're going to build this thing. But the only way we can do it is to come into fresh relationship with one another, based on the foundations that we've got left, based on the promises of my God, based on the support we've received from people who haven't even believed that God said we could do it. The king supplied the supplies to rebuild what they needed to rebuild. He sent Nehemiah away with his blessing to complete the task. He didn't arrive in Jerusalem. I said, let's have a look at your builder's certificate, Nehemiah. Have you got the piece of paper? He said, I have. It's written on my heart. God said. God said, that's good enough for me. The story as that unfolds is a prophetic picture of what God is doing right now. Our job, like Nehemiah's job, is to revive, to replace, to reposition, to replenish the lives of people whose lives have been burnt by the circumstances of their life, and their life is like a heap of rubble. I had a friend that started building a wall out of limestone, and he thought he was going to be a master stonemason, and every stone was going to fit, and he was going to drywall it, he didn't have to cement it. And I can remember him one day, he got this big lump of rock, and he said, this is just going to fit perfectly. It didn't quite fit, so he got out his mallet and his chisel and went tap, 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 and the whole rock just literally disintegrated in his eyes. So he said, now I've got a bundle of fill that I can use between the cracks. But sometimes that's your position. Sometimes that's your placing in the body of Christ. That not everyone has upfront platform or public recognition type ministries. But sometimes you can be the gravel that fits between the stones. You can be the bonding that brings people together. You can be the connecting point. And like Nehemiah did, he had to put up with enemies attacking. He had to put up with threats that were happening. He had to put up fear from within. He had to guard themselves with weapons, but he had to have tools that were ready to work and complete the job. Amen? The Bible says here in the Word, in verse 6 of chapter 4, so they built the wall, so we built the wall, and all of it was joined in together to half its height. For the people, what? It says that it had a heart and a mind to work. Have you got a heart for the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? Have you got a heart to see God move, not only just in the life of the church, but in your life as an individual? Have you got a heart to see people come out of sickness and disease because you were bold enough to put a hand on them and say, in Jesus' name? These are the sort of challenges that we're going to be up against over the next few weeks and months. Don't get scared. I'm not starting a building program with no money. I'm not actually thinking of even starting a building program. The building program's got to start within each and every one of us. Inside our hearts. They got halfway. Why? Because they had a heart and a mind, and I'll put it this way, to see the work completed. We are in amazing times. We are in this awesome place with God right now, 2017. To see the hand of God either move or the hand of God to be bound. And I, for one, will not stand by and see God's hands bound. God is bigger than that for starters, and His church is more alive than that anyway. Amen? Nehemiah says in verse 14, I'll bring this to a close, do not be afraid of them. Who's your them in your world? For each of us, there's a them that can put us into panic mode, can put us into fear, can put us into uncertainty. God is bigger than that. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord. And then it's got a comma. That's a pause in case you forget your early English. say that sarcastically, but friends, sometimes as Christians, we forget that the Lord's involved in our day-to-day living. As dumb as it seems, this is one of those scriptures that come and jumped out at me. Do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome. And fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. What a mighty God. What a powerful God. They got the impression, in the natural, they were building something of long-lasting value. And I put it to us today that what we build, what we allow God to do through us, is of eternal value. That the life you see changed because you were bold enough, that you were open enough to allow the Holy Spirit to encourage you to witness, you were bold enough to step out and do what he asked you to do. It says in the Bible here in Nehemiah, when they'd finished building, they read the law, they read God's word. They prayed, they praised the Lord. What a great thing to do. When they had finished, prayed, read the word, and praised the Lord.